So yeah, and we'll try to work it out. Okay, so Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being on Zoom. Yeah, everything is on. Very good. So we are carrying on with the sugya of Rov VeKarov, and we're going to see today very, very interesting ideas, and we're going to try to understand the reasoning behind it and the svarot behind it, because some of these things are very, very difficult. I highly recommend to have the source sheet in front of you. If you're at home, if you're here, I see you have it. So let's try to go in this thing. So we learned last week, the famous Gemara, a line, Amar Chanina, source number one, Rov VeKarov, Olchim Achar HaRov, that let's say there is a chicken, and you have two coops, one that has a lot of chickens, one has less amount of chickens, and it's closer to the one, but there's a majority in the other one, seemingly, Rov VeKarov, Olchim Achar HaRov, you go according to the majority. Even though that this mean of deciding the metzias, this tool that we have, both rov and karov, both of them are from the Torah. Nevertheless, the way of learning things, the rov is better than the karov. Both of them are deoraita, but the rov is better than the karov. Okay, the Tosfot asks a fundamental question that there are many answers to this question. Some are better, some are less better, as we'll see. And we're going to focus primarily on the answer of the Tosfot Rid. Tosfot asks, Rov VeKarov Alech HaRov, Rav Chanina, you come here with this big statement saying that Rov VeKarov, Rov is better, going according to the majority rather than the close coop, is better than the Karov. What is your big Chiddush? This is an explicit brisa which is mentioned in Ksubos. It's very famous. All of us heard of it. All of us once saw it. Tet chanuyot kulam mochot basar shchuta v'achad mocher basar nevela. You have 10 stores. 9 of them are kosher. 1 of them is not kosher. And then you find a random piece of meat in the middle of town. You see a random piece of meat. So what is this meat? Where did this come from? Did it come from the 9? Or did it come from the 10th? The Gemara says very clearly, go according to the store, the majority of stores. You have 9 kosher stores. So it came from the 9 kosher stores. It's a kosher piece of meat. Bon appetit, you could eat it. Says Tosfot, Mashma afilu nimtza karov lachanut amocheret nevela. Now the Gemara did not distinguish between, is it close to this store, to that store, is it here, is it there? So you see very clearly that although it might be closer to the non-kosher restaurant or store, but since you have a majority of stores that are kosher, you go according to the rov. So you see that even though you might have a rov and karov, you go according to the majority of stores, you go according to the rov. So in that case, Chanina, what is your great chiddush? There's an explicit brisa. What are you teaching us? So the Tosfot brings 3 answers. I'll mention just one of it because it's the shortest one and also seemingly the easiest one. That also is very, very hard to believe it's happening. I'll tell you what is the case there in Ksubos of the 10 stores, 9 are kosher and 1 is not kosher. It is found exactly in the middle. It's not close to anyone. And in this particular case, only in this case, you go according to the Rav. Who knows? Maybe indeed, if it's closer to this store, to that store, you go according to the Karov, to the closer store. If you'll see the footnotes, I brought here a footnote from the Yalkut Biurim of the Masivta, the Masivta edition, and he says there, how could this possibly be? Yeshayen Be'ez Ofem in Dubai, how could this possibly be? That is exactly in the middle. Im achanot omudot b'shura, v'abasar omed bin shtei achanuyot, un bin shtei achanot elu en achra, if the case is that we have 10 stores, one after the other, they're all in one line. And then in between store 9 and 10, there is this random piece of meat. And it's not closer to the 9th store or the 10th store. One thing is for sure, it's not close to stores 1 until 8. So in that case, why are they even part of the suffix? The question should be, is this part of stores 1 until 10? No, the question should be, is it between stores 9 and 8? So why do we add the other stores to our suffix? So it has to be ulam imedubar bofen shechenot kulanem biigul. So he says maybe it could be. It's a circle, and it's right in the center of the circle, and the radius is equal to all stores. If I'm saying something biduk b'emza, and in that case, the Brisa discusses you have 9 kosher stores, one store which is not kosher. You go according to the Rav. Says the Mesivta, which is very clear. To say that the Brisa is discussing this particular case that's exactly dead center, not close to anyone else, doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's why this Tosfot, this answer which is around the Tosfot, it's very hard to understand it. I won't try to understand it, but this is one of the 3 answers that Tosfot brings. The first answer he himself rejects. The third answer of Tosfot, maybe we'll discuss it in the end of the Shira, but in the end of the source sheet, but I will see if we have the time to discuss it. So again, back to the question, what is your chiddush of Chanina? We have an explicit braisa. Tosfot read gives a different answer. It actually doesn't address the question directly, but according to what he's saying, so you can understand the difference. He says it very clearly what the difference is. He's not asking a question and answer. He just explained the sugya and saying that it's not the same thing as the stores. In source number 3, Tosfot Rid says, what is our case? You have 2 coops. One is the closer one. One is the second one that has more chickens or birds inside. If you have 1 coop which has more birds, and one is closer, go to the one which has the majority. Let's say you have 2 stores, not 9 stores, not 10 stores, you have 2 stores, and one is close, and you have a piece of meat, a random piece of meat between those 2 stores. One is closer to this store, which is the non-kosher store, and one has, the kosher store has more meat inside that store. According to the Rav, the same thing will be here. The Rav Zera, and we'll see it throughout the Gemara, that Rav Zera is constantly asking questions against Rav Chanina. Is it true? Rav Zera is constantly asking questions. He says, no. In this case that we have 2 stores, non-kosher and kosher, you go to the closest store. The closest, and you don't take in mind the amount of stores. Vedavka b'shtei chanuyot plige, shem shtei biot, o biatarov, o biatakov. The machlokas of Rav Chanina and Rav Zera is only in the case of 2 stores of 2 coops. Why? Because once you find this bird, so you say, where did this bird come from? Did it come from coop A? Did it come from coop B? This piece of meat. Did it come from store A, store B? You have an equal amount of biot. You have an equal amount of options. Where did it come from? Either from here, either from there, it's 1-on-1. It's a draw. And here you have the machlokas when you go according to the Rav to the majority of meat which is inside. Aval, says Tosfot Reed, Betesha chanuyot mochot basar shchita. V'acha mocher basar nevela. Dika ze basar nimsa, teisha biot dehitera. Ubi'a chada deisura. Afilu rabbi zera mode, devata disha azlinan. Ve'ein zdome lechaluktam. I'll tell you why we have to have this chiddush. We can't go according to the story of the 10 stores. Why? Because in the story of 10 stores, that we have 9 kosher stores and 1 non-kosher stores. So let's say you have now 10 options. Where does this meat come from? It could come from store number 1, kosher, store number 2, kosher, store number 3, kosher. 1 until 9, they're all kosher. So you have 9 kosher options, 9 ways where this piece of meat came from. So you have 9 options where it came from. Okay, it came from there. The 10th one, which is not kosher, okay, so you have 9 against 1, you go according to the Rav. You have 9 options. But here, you have an equal amount of options. Either it's from here, either it's from there. The question here is, here you have more meat, here you have less meat. This is something else entirely. Maybe in that case, there is no Rav HaKarov. In that case, there is a machlokas, Rav Chanina and Rabbi Zera. But in the case of multiple stores, as opposed to 1 non-kosher store, you go according to the Rav. According to everyone, even according to Rabbi Zera.
Even let's say the non-kosher store sells 10 times the amount of meat as the Jewish store. The non-kosher store is really big and the Jewish store is all small.
Amazing, amazing. What you're asking is actually a machlokas in the Pesachi Tshuva in source number 5. I was heading to there. Exactly. Very good. Very good. So I won't repeat the question because actually this it's a very easy way for me to just carry on with the shir. So we see that according to Tosfot Rid, when you have the question about multiple biot, multiple entrances, multiple ways where it came from, of course you go according to the Rav. The only machlokas is when you have more meat here as opposed to less meat there. So what happens? So I brought here also Shulchan Aruch and Pesachim Teshuva that seems to have the same idea. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoreda Kuf Yud brings the famous case. You have 10 stores, 9 kosher, 1 not kosher. You find one in the middle. You go according to the majority. Very well. Asks Pesachim Teshuva in source number 5. Ayin Shuvat Beit Ephraim. Binyanim yesh bechanut achat shel nevela basar yoter mema sheyesh betet chanut shel kshera. Im yesh lelech b'dinsa achar rov shel chanut o achar rov basar. So we said that if we know very clearly that you have multiple options where it came from, is for sure kosher, multiple stores. So here there is a question which is in between. On the one hand, you have 9 kosher stores. 9 kosher stores. But those 9 kosher stores have less meat. But the 9 kosher stores. The one non-kosher store has a huge amount of meat. Do you go according to the amount of stores? Or do you go according to the amount of meat? That is the question of the Pesachim Teshuva. Do you have any idea anytime? So, no? Okay. So
if you're talking just probability speaking, then you'd obviously say whatever there's more meat being sold of. If it was just a probability question, then you have an unmarked piece of meat. Then most of the meat that's sold today, it's not kosher. Of course, you should not
wait,
eat it.
Wait, it was sold? It's not sold. It's still in the store.
It's found in the store or it's found outside the store?
No, it's found outside the store. But the stores are all full. All of them sold the same amount of meat today, for instance. Now you found that one piece of meat. All of them sold one piece of meat, let's say. So what do you do in that case? So what's the... Sorry?
And how do you define color parish and grubal parish? Can you not argue that color means if there are 9 stores, it doesn't matter how many pieces of meat were in each store. If there were 9 stores, the rub number of stores from which it was parish, you see what I mean? You base it on the rub number of stores, not...
Yeah, so why not to say that you have... So you're saying that parish is according to the amount of stores?
Because it's color parish and grubal parish means... Where did it come from? It could have come from 10 places.
Okay, and very good. So what Mr. Levy is saying, Hashem, I think that will be the words of Nachum. They're going to see soon. So anyways, you have your multiple, you have a majority of kosher stores, but you have a majority of non-kosher meat. How do you go? So the Beis Ephraim says, let's be practical. He says, it depends. כתב יש בזה להקל ולהחמיר. כל שלא נמכר מכל חנות רק בימה אחת או שניים, וכל השאר והשאר נשאר במקומו, הולכים אחר רוב חנויות. מה ישיינו זה הבשר של הרבה בחנות? כיוון שנשאר מונח במקומו. If every store only sold one animal, right? We know that today, it's half an hour since the beginning of the business day, every store sold only one animal. So why do I care that this store has more animals? Why should that tell me that there's more of a reason this animal came from there? It's still over there. So why should I even take those pieces of that kosher meat in the store in consideration? It's still there. However, he says, אבל אם יש באחד יוד במות נבלה ובתת יש בכל אחד דרך הקשרה ומחרו כולם את כל הבשר. But let's say all stores sold the meat that day. It was very, very, it was before the barbecue day of, I don't know, yeah, it was before 4th of July, and all the stores sold all the meat. So in that case, פשיטה בקהי גוונה, אז אם אתה רוב בשר, you go according to the majority of the meat. מה יושאין לו רוב חיות? Who cares about the multiple stores? All the meat is outside, mixed up together someplace, so they have a random piece of meat. You go of course, according to the meat. That is the Beis Ephraim. He says, use your head, be logical, see what happens. That's the Beis Ephraim. However, the Pesachim Teshuva brings a bunch of Achronim saying that you go constantly according to the majority of the stores. You have 9 kosher stores, you always go according to the number of the stores and not according to the number of the meat. Herich b'ze v'yem b'ze sefer chavodah, that's the Nesivis, and the Keset Yechezkel, v'raiti b'haran sheketa v'pshitut, v'medelo v'falginan, d'lifamim b'chunt achad yesh arbe basar, shuv v'chatichot, neged ten mochot, basar shkuta, nered en afkemin, the fact that the Gemara itself didn't distinguish, the story that is running Ksubis is only regarding stores. They never said it depends how much meat you have here, how much meat you have there. So since they themselves did not distinguish, so in that case, it seemed that you always go according to the majority of the stores. The kol chanun v'chanun nechshav keilu kulam shavim ayen sham. says also Chuvas Not Biyuda, and he also explored this as according to Shas, Hakol Talui Berov Chanuyot Velo B'Mispar HaBesar. So it seems that everyone are going according to the number of the stores. What is the svara behind this idea that going according to the majority of the stores? So I think that Rabbi Nochem is saying what you're saying. He brings the Tosfot Rid, and he says, why is it that it's so obvious that even both according to Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Zera, in the case of the majority of stores, you go according to the majority of stores. But in the case of the majority of meat, that is actually a subject to machlokas. So he says, "Nireh biura davar, the ikar safek benimtza hu me'ezeh chanut." When we find this random piece of meat, so our metzias question is the metzias. What is the story here? There's a meat that came from someplace. Where did it come from? That is our question. We want to know the mitziyut, we want to know the reality, we want to know the story, what happened here. Where did this meat come from? Meizeh chnut ba'basar, u'meizeh shovach nufal, but it's a bird, from which coop did it fall? V'imken, hey chadika tet ofanim dehiter v'chadi, so if we have 9 options, it came either from 1, from 2, from 3, from 4, and 1 until 9, they're all kosher, and we have only 1 option that came maybe from there, so in that case, hatam, imken begufa safek etzmo, regarding our question, our suffix, which story did it come from, the reality, is it from here, from here, from here, from here, from here, from here, so if I answers 1, until 9, it's kosher, so you have your multiple answers, multiple options, which tell me the reality, it came from here. Ma she'en ken, k'sheh safek mechad mitrei shovachim, v'chad minam nafisha, v'esh barov nifolim. But if we have 2 coops, and both of the owners are trying to keep the birds inside, and one randomly falls out, so in that case, you have 2 options about the reality. It came from here, it came from there. Hatam ena, so, and here they have more birds. So what? Hatam ein harov basafek atzmo. The reality question that we're actually dealing with is, from where did it come from? The fact that you have more birds there doesn't answer the reality. The question, what happened here? Did it come here, from here, from there? What, the fact that they're still there, how does that answer the question? How does that add more reason? How is it supposed to add, to give me something? It doesn't, the fact that there's a majority of birds there doesn't give me more of an answer of the reality. Did it come from there? The fact that you have their majority, so it's mehatzad. It's not regarding the goof of safek. It's not answering our question, where did it come from? But since we have more birds there, it's more likely that maybe one fell. That's what's called rov mehatzad. It's not answering the metzias. It came from either here or there. It's more likely that something might come from there because you have there more birds. If you have now either rov basafek esmo regarding the question, where did it come from? Either from here, from all these stores, or from this store? Answer the question. You have more reasons to say that the answer will be answers 1 until 9. In that case, there's no safek at all. You don't need the safek telling me that there's a majority of meat and birds over there. However, if the suffix is shakur, but if regarding the reality, it's either for or here or there, and there's no reason to say it's more than here, more than there, then we use this chiddush, this kind of new rav that tells us that you have more birds here, so that could be a reason why to go according to that one. But it doesn't really answer the mitzias. It doesn't answer the reality. It doesn't answer what he calls ikar safek. Almost. I'll drink it because this is very, very heating, these svaras. So that's why, according to Rabbi Nochem, he's discussing only the Tosfot Rid. He's not discussing the Pesachei Tshuva, but he says, when we have multiple options, so the options are actually dealing with Ikar HaSafek, with our question, with our something that we're dealing with, and the Metzias goes according to the options. Not as the rav of the majority of birds that simply is not supposed to answer the reality of our question. Is this okay? More or less? It's very it's complicated to say it. I wonder how complicated it is to hear it. So that is Rabbi Nochem, and he's explaining why we go according to the majority of the stores. Chazon Ish, he thinks entirely differently than all the Achronim in the Pesachei Tshuva. And it could be that he even thinks differently as opposed to Tosfot Rid. And it's okay because you have many, many Rishonim that did not give the answer of the Tosfot Rid. And Chazon Ish says, you should go according to the majority of the meat. In source number 7, the Chazanish in Hilchos Tarovos, he says, according to the sellers or the products which are being sold, I am Pischit Shuvah brings them Achronim, Velichora, Haikar, Rov HaPerot, Verov HaBasari. It seems you should go according to the majority of the meat or the fruit. He says, if the way that I understand the Chaznish is, he says the same thing that we see regarding bittul, that we have now a bunch of pieces, random pieces on the table. And you have, and I know you have your, let's say, 7 pieces of non-kosher, you have 3 pieces of kosher, and now you take out something. So, I don't care about where did it come from. It's all mixed together. So, the case of mixed pieces of meat together, I take one randomly and I assume it's from the Rav. It seems, so he says the same thing will be here also. Forget about the stores. So what if the stores are separated? You have stores here, stores there. The question is here, the meat. There's a bunch of meat in the world mixed up together. Take one of it. That's maybe the easy way of understanding the Chazon Ish. He says, "Umali sharov munach b'kom echad, or b'mkumot arbe." I mean, it says if you have all pieces of meat in one pot, or they're spread it out. Kivan shekulon nichnas echad safek. All of the meat is the question: is this meat from here, from there, from this? That kind of meat, that kind of meat. Amrin on kol de parish mikol parish. Hagatz mecha. היו מונחים על השולחן, ורוב הבשר כשר, וחדרות הכשרות צפופים, וחדרות הטרפות מרווחים, ומחזיקים שטח יותר גדול בכשר. לית כאן רוב. For example, let's say you have a table. So you have a large piece of kosher meat. A large chunk of kosher meat over here. Everything is cut. But the kosher meat, the cuts are together, and they're taking this side of the table. And you have a small piece of non-kosher here. Why would I say that? And clearly there's a majority of the kosher meat. It's separated, but you see very clearly that this is the majority of pieces of meat. So why should I care if it's closer to here, closer to there, if it's separated? Who cares? So it seems that he's not even taking in consideration, as you said, where did it come from? I don't care about where did it come from. He's always asking about, let's say it's mixed. Let's say it's together. Let's say it's all in one big place together. And let's go according to the majority of the meat. So I think the easy way of understanding the Chazon Ish is that he just simply holds that the concept of halech achar harov, go according to the majority, is the same idea of bitul berov. Because usually these are two separate concepts. Bitul berov is when things are mixed up together. The majority decides what is these pieces of meat that are all mixed together. Since you have your 90% of kosher, 10% of non-kosher, all these pieces of meat are kosher. And you can eat every single piece of meat, whether together or not, it's b'chodesh Rosh and Rashbo, but one after the one, good, because I always hold bitul berov, I go according to the majority. Usually halech harov is something else. It's not mixed. You have things that are actually separated. Now you have one thing which is separated. Where did it come from? Here, there, there, there. It seems that the Chazon Ish says it's all the same thing. It's all as if it's one thing which is all together, and you just took it out when it's mixed together. Why should there be a difference? That's, I think, one explanation of the Chazon Ish, and I think he's not the only one who's, and you see that we have several Achronim who say the same thing, that the idea of Halech HaRov is the same thing like Bitul Berov. It's the exact same thing. You'll see in source number 8, Rameir Simcha.
That it's 100% okay? Each piece is good?
Yes. You can eat every single piece.
Just a case of rove, we don't say it's 100%.
Why? But you'll find a piece of meat, you'll say it's okay. If you have a piece, you'll say it's okay.
We don't say
we'll
that
carry
it's
100%. On. What?
Do we say that it's 100%?
We say it is, last week we said according to Sarah Poskim, it's a beru. We determine it. Is it 100% like the case of counting? We said maybe no, but it is enough for us to determine reality. Saying that yes, it's okay. You could eat, in bitul berov, you could eat every single piece. And so I think also here, you could eat every single piece. Rameir Simcha, the Rosh Sameach and Sanhedrin says it explicitly that Ruba de Issa Kaman is actually works like bitul berov. He says, "Mistafina lomar davar shelo amar adam meolam." I'm going to say a chiddush that no one in the world ever said it, and you might think that this is nonsense. But kol pitput echutz pitput deorai de tavin. I'm talking Torah, so be easy on me. It could make sense. And he brings that as we all know, there's a machlokus Rav Shmuel. If we go regarding mam and acharav, so he says that the machlokus between them is only in ruba de leisa kaman, but ruba de isa kaman for sure. Everyone agree? We don't go according to the Rav. Why? Because he explains how does Ruba de Isa Kaman work. Again, Ruba de Isa Kaman is that you have the things in front of you, and then you take one out, and you say, I go according to things that were in front of me. Yeah, you have 9 people that don't have glasses, 1 person that does have glasses, you take one out randomly, does this person have glasses or not? Ruba de Isa Kaman says to me, yes, he probably doesn't have glasses, because the Rav tells us that the majority don't have glasses. He says it's the exact same thing, like Bitul. That's how it works. The Masha Amrina Bechulin, the Ruba de Ita Kaman, חשובה יותר, משום שאנו דנים כאילו המיעוט והריבוי שניהם הם מורבבים לפנינו. How does Ruba de Isa Kaman work? It's as if everything is mixed up together. כיוון שלא מבורר מאיכן הדבר אשר בו אנו מסופקים, איכן הוא בא, ותו הווה בגדר ביטול. And we always, and we will determine things in Ruba de Isa Kaman as if it is ביטול. As if it was canceled entirely. Why should I think that this person is wearing glasses? Since the majority said that he's not wearing glasses, every single one that comes out doesn't wear glasses. And that would be the same thing like pieces of meat. You have 9 kosher pieces of meat, 1 non-kosher piece of meat, you're taking one out, it's kosher. Take one out, it's kosher. Then carry on the 10th person. Every single one we hold, probably he's from the majority, and it is okay. So he says that the idea of Ruba de Ita Kaman, which is also 10 stores, obviously, is the idea of Bittul. So he says, don't care about the stores. Look at the meat. And you have a bunch of meat mixed up together. I think this could be go very well with the Chazon Ish. You have a bunch of meat mixed up together. So it's Bittul. So in that case, even though you have more stores, but still the meat is all together, every piece of meat holds according to the majority of the meat. And if the majority is not kosher meat, so in that case, it's not kosher. You know, and you won't go according to the stores. That is Rami Simcha regarding, that's his thesis about Ruba de Isa Kaman, that it's like Bitur, and maybe that is also the Chazon Ish. Also Reb Chaim Brisk, he also says in the stencil, I think he says the same idea, that in the idea of Rov, you have 2 concepts which actually go together. Ruba de Isa Kaman, they go according to the majority. You determine reality according to the majority. And also you have that concept of Bitul Berov, that the minority is cancelled entirely. He discusses it regarding Sanhedrin. As we all know, we have a Beis Din, and Beis Din is Dini Mamonis is 3, Dini Nefashis is 23, and the Beis Din has to decide, does this money belong to Reuven? Does Shimon have to die because he killed someone? The Beis Din have to make they have to decide. And Reb Chaim points out that if, let's say, you go according to majority, it's 2 against 1, so in that case you go according to 2. But in order for a Beis Din to decide something, it has to be a Beis Din. It has to be 3. Beis Din, by definition, is 3 Dinim together. Or Dinim Nefashos, 23 Dinim together. So he says, in general, Bitul Berov and Halecha Chararov are all coming from the same source. They're all coming from the same Pasuk. As Rav Jared pointed out 2 weeks ago, that Ruba de Isa Kaman, the source is Acharei Rabim Lehatot. According to Rashi in several places, also Bitul Berov, a piece of meat together with other pieces of meat, that is also from the pasuk of Achirabim Latot. In Dayanim, you have 2 cases. You have also, you go according to the majority of the opinions. That will probably determine the reality. Who is right? Him or him. But also, it will also cancel the other opinions. You'll have a Bitul Berov. And by that, you could also have a full basis in that will determine what to do. See, in Reb Chaim, he says, "Hine beruba ikatrei gavnei." You have tzvei dinim in Rav. Aleph shu mevarer umachet asafek. It also determines the reality. Bet b'midrash shayach klal safek kol rubek kuchulo. Also then you have another idea that the minority is batel, it's cancelled, and it turns to be the other thing. Although that we know, let's say if a person cuts the majority of the simanim of the animal, so we know very clearly it's not entirely cut. We have this idea. So even though the mitzias is different, but the minority goes according to the majority, and it changes the mitzias. So he says that's why in Beis Din you have the both things. Also, I want to know who is right, Reuven or Shimon. You have two that say it's Reuven, one that says Shimon. So you go according to the two. In order to determine the reality, Reuven is right, not Shimon. And also, we have to have a basin, three people together, to give out a psak din. So he says that is also by the idea of Rav, that also it cancels other things. So it seems again, according to Reb Chaim and also Reb Meir Simcha, that both Kol de Parish, Meruv Parish, Alecha Chararov, Bitu Berov, they all come from the same source. And because of that, it works all together. So because of that, you don't care about the multiple options. Look at the Chefza. The Chefza is like Bitul Berov. It's all mixed up together. And if you have the majority of meat, that will be enough of a reason. Is this somehow clear? Somehow? Okay. So this is option one of understanding the Chazon Ish. I think there's another option to understand the Chazon Ish, because he himself says it's not exactly Bitul. He says he says inside the brackets, this is not exactly Bitul. So that's why I want to find maybe another idea. Why is it that you go according to the majority of pieces of meat and not according to the number of the stores? In order to understand this, so there is a very famous Rashash. This is a Rashash that the Yeshiva world breaks his head in order to understand it. It seemingly doesn't make any sense, but we'll try to somehow find some sense with this Rashash. And by that, maybe we'll also have another understanding in the Chazon Ish. Okay. It starts from a Mishnah in Ksubos. The Mishnah in Ksubos says, as we all know, there are certain people that if they have relations with a girl or a woman, so that woman can no longer marry a Kohen. They're psulei keuna. A non-Jew, for instance, so if he has a relationship with a Jewish girl, so in that case, that girl is no longer kosher for Kuna, a Kohen cannot marry her. So, you have a town, the Mishnah says in source number 10, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ma'ase betinoket sheyarda lemalot maim min ha'ayin. V'nensa, there was this poor girl, she went to fill water from the river, and she was raped. Now we don't know who is this person, lo aleinu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Ori, Im rov anshei ha'ir mesim lekeuna, harei zot yonsei lekeuna. Listen, it definitely came from this town. If this town is, the majority of people who are in this town are kosher people, that if they would have relations with her, they would not pass her for kehuna. So in that case, she's not possible for kehuna. But if the majority are people who are, do pass her to kehuna, they'll pass her. You go according to majority. That's the Mishnah. Okay? Says Tosfot Rabbi Akiva Egel. Rabbi Akiva Egel says on this Mishnah, Nire, the im harov odef al miut ak beechad. Let's say this is a town of 101 men. Yesh mashal nun alef kshirim v'num psulim. You have 51 people who are kosher and 50 who are pasul, people that will, if they had this relationship with the girl, so if they raped the girl, so they are pasul. So you have 51 kosher and 50 which are pasul. Devaze asura la kohen meota ha'ir. And let's say that the person now, there's a kohen, he's counted as one of the 51 kosher people in the town. And now he wants to marry this girl. So he says to himself, wait a second, I'm asking the question. I know it's not me who raped her. So in that case, taking out of the count, you have either 50 kosher, 50 non-kosher, maybe I can't marry her, maybe you can't go according to the Rav. Tahua yoda bat smoshu lo ba'alea. ואם כן הוא אינו בכלל ספקות, ולגבי דידי נשאר רק מחצה על מחצה, שונים ספק, אינו יכול לתלות ברוב. So he says, I think, says Rukiv Eger, that in this case, since you know the Kohen very clearly that you are not, you did not rape this girl, and you want to marry her, so in that case, there's no longer 51 kosher as opposed to 50 non-kosher, it's 50-50, and for you it's 50-50, you cannot marry. So he says, "V'chidush shelo nimsa meforash mishidiber mizeh." This is a chiddush that no one mentioned this thing. It seems to be very, very tangent, 51 against 50, but some say that you could also add to the count the Beis Din, who are discussing this, because they can't marry the girl because they're discussing. So they also are not part of the count. Also, maybe you should take off the count righteous people that know very well, they have an anansadeh that they for sure didn't do it. Maybe they also don't go according to the count. But anyway, says, since you know the reality that it's not you, so in that case, the odds are changing. That is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Rashash asks against Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he gives proof that he's wrong for our case of the birds. Ketav Tosafot Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Deim haya derech mashal. Let's say you're right. Example, 51 kosher, 50 psulim. And the 51 was the Kohen that actually wants to marry her. She is forbidden. The kivan shu yoda בעצמו שלא בא עליה, אם כן הוא אינו בכלל הספק. לא נשאר רק מחצה מחצה. So since he knows that he's not the person that raped her, so in that case it's still 50-50. הנה הרב זל, says רשש, נראה דמדמי ליה, להדן פרדת בתרומות. It seems that Rukviger says that this is a similar case like the case in the Mishnah in Truma. So I brought in the footnote that as we know in Truma, in order to, if there's a mixture of chulin and truma. So if you have 100 pieces of chulin against a piece of truma, you can eat everything. It's what's called meduma. But let's say you have 100 pieces of figs. 50 are white, 50 are black. Yeah? And a white fig fell into this mixture of figs. So according to Yeshua, that let's say a white fig fell into this mixture, you have 50 black, 50 white, I don't care about the color, you have 100 figs, that's enough. Rabbi Akiva Omer, if you know that this is a white fig that fell inside, and there are 50 white figs, you don't take in consideration the 50 black figs, only the 50 white figs, in that case, it's not batul. So you see that things that are obvious to you, that are not here, it is okay. And he gives an example, that, as he said, yeah, kitzad, 50 shchorot, 50 vanot, tifa shchora, shchorot asorot, tifa mutarot, yeah. Says the Rashash, okay, so I understand that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where are you bringing this from? You're bringing this from the Mishnah, that things that we know clearly are not part of the suffix, it is okay. However, that's true, says Rashash, only regarding the concept of bitul. Aval la'niyut dati nire davka li'an bitul lo mahani otam she'ina b'chala safek. Only when you start discussing that concept of bitul, only then you don't count those who are not part of the safek. Aval le'inyan kol de parish mu'a parish, when you're discussing the idea of kol de parish mu'a parish, avu b'de isa kamam, av halech hararov, mahani afpilu otam she'inan b'chala safek. You count even those that are not part of the suffix. And I'll give you a raya. I'll give you a piece of evidence from our Gemara. That we say that we go according to the Rav because one of them is more. You have here two coops. One has a bunch, has a majority, and one has a minority. You go according to the majority. Wait a second, why are you going according to the majority? In the majority, you know for sure that they did not fall out. They're not part of the suffix. The suffix is when you have things which fall out. You don't know where to go. But here, you have the majority telling me we're still in place. Yet, they're not part of the suffix. Yet, you still go according to the Rav. So you see it from here, the one that actually fell out, but those who are still in the store, they're not part of the suffix, because clearly they did not fall out, they're in the store, and yet they still determine where it came from. You see that even though it's not part of the suffix, you still go according to the majority. So you see from here that even though it's not part of the suffix, you go according to the majority. So the same thing will be also regarding the case of the girl who was lawfully raped, that you go according to the majority, even though you know very clearly this is not part of the suffix. That's what he claims. Does it make sense what he's saying? Does it? Hopefully. And now he says something which is very unbelievable and very hard to believe. So he says, in that case, if we're adding things that are not part of the suffix, he says, let's picture this story. ולפי מה שכתבנו, היה נראה לי. אם בחנות אחת כשרה, היו מהם חתיכות מרובות, עשר משולשות. We have two stores. One is kosher and one is not kosher. The kosher store has 40 pieces, and the non-kosher has 20. The kosher store has 40 pieces, 50 pieces, 40 of them are in the shape of a square, and 10 of them are in the shape of a triangle. In the non-kosher store, you have 20 pieces, but they're all triangles. And now you found in the middle of the street, a triangle. Where does it go? So he says, since the kosher store has more pieces, נמצאת חתיכה משולשת, כשרה. I think you go according to the kosher store. Because since we're now dealing with the sugya of kol de parish, mura parish, that when something falls out, it falls out from the place that has more. And we, as we just determined, we also take into account things which are not part of the safek. Right? Because we're saying, listen, go according to the majority, you see that coop has more birds, but those birds never came out. Why is that even a suffix? He says that in the parish, we go according to the majority, even if it's not part of the suffix. And because of that, even though you found a triangle, there are only 10 triangles in that store, you go according to that store, not according to the treif store that has 20 triangles. Does this make any sense at all? Not so much. But we'll try to understand. So we will try to understand it. So anyway, just to summarize the Rashash and see what I'm actually trying to build out of this thing. It's a very, very complicated thing to deal with. We're actually discussing that there is the Machlokes from Kvigur and Rashash. In order to count a Rav, do we add things which are not part of the Suffolk? Which are not part of our question. Says Kvigur, if I know very clearly that I'm not part of the suffix here because I didn't trip this girl, so in that case it's 50-50. That's what he says. I don't count myself because I know very clearly I'm not part of the suffix. Rashash says, but wait a second, look in the case of the Mishnah here. We're asking, which is this bird from, here or there? Those birds that are the majority, they never came out. They're not part of the suffix. They're for sure not the birds that are here, right? Because they're there. The bird I found here is for sure not one of the birds over there because it's here. So it's not part of the suffix. And nevertheless, we go according to the Rav. Because that's the idea of Kol Parish Vekol Parish. We go according to the place that has more things. The place that has more things has more likelihood things to fall out. That's why we go according to that. And because of that, he says, even in the case of the triangles and the squares, we go according to the place that has more pieces of meat. Because there's more likelihood for that to fall. It's a very hard thing to understand. And I saw numerous contemporary Rashi Yeshivas trying to deal with it. I saw it both in the book Birkat Avraham of Rav Avraham Erlanger from Yeshivat Kol Torah, and I saw it also in writings of Rabbi Gil Rosen, Rosh Yeshiva of Or Yisrael. He's the brother of Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, the Machon Somet. He's a famous black hat Rosh Yeshiva. He's really, really one of the Gedolim. And the one who explained this idea the best to me was a young rabbi called the Rav Yitzchak Kadosh. He's a rabbi, if I'm mistaken, in a yeshiva called Echal Yitzchak. We actually were a few years together in Kolel after we got married. So we were together in the Kolel in Beit Vagan. And every time that we started a new sugya, so he disappeared for a week, came back after a week with a book, literally a huge book that he wrote about the sugya with sources. And then he came back to the Kolel. So in one of his books, He which is also, you can find it on Otsal Chokhma, he writes about it. Now he's a Rav in a Yeshiva, and he gives a very interesting definition, about understanding the argument of the Rashash and Rav Kvigur. And again, I think this is something which is brought by many, Rashi Yeshiva, but I think he explains it the best. It's hard to understand it. I'm still not sure 100% that I understand it, but let's see how it goes. He says, I'll try to say first, maybe Baal Peh. When we find a piece of meat, there are 9 kosher stores and 10, and the 10th is 9 kosher and 10th is non-kosher. So we have now options. After it came out, we have now 10 options. Where did it come from? Option number 1 is store number 1, option 2 is store number 3, chule v'chule. We have 9 options which are telling me it came from there. There's an option that came from there. And usually we go according to the majority of options. That is true. So in that case, because when we try to deal with the mitzias, what actually happened, we're trying to figure out the reality, and we're going with the options which are available to us. But there's another thing called, that is called rov tzedadim. It could be either here. But there's also rov sikuyim. This is, I think, in English, probability. Chances are what would have happened. Now, it says rov tzedadim, we always ask, after it happened, what happened? It come from here. That's rov tzedadim, that's the multiple options. But we have also rov sikuyim. What are the chances of this thing happening? And these, and the rov sikuyim, you always measure before it happened. Let's say we didn't find a piece of meat. I have now 9 stores, kosher, the 10th store has a bunch of meat. And I say, listen, a piece of meat is going to fall out. So now, do I care about the options? It could fall either from here. No. Only after it happened, I think about the options. But when I ask about the sikuyim, the probability of something falling, so you look at every single piece of meat and say, he has the potential to fall. It could fall, it could not fall. Meat number 2, it could fall, it could not fall. You go to every single piece of meat and think about it, this meat could fall. Afterwards, so in that case, do you go according to the options, or do you go according to the probability, the sikuyim, the pieces of meat? It seems that you'll go according to the pieces of meat, right? Because before it happened, you're saying, what are the chances of this meat falling out? 50-50, it could stay, it could not stay. It goes to the other piece of meat. Again, you can say it could not stay. I don't care about the options where it could come from, because it didn't happen yet. Only when it happens, they ask about the reality. Lemaisa, the mitzias, did it happen from here? Did it happen from here? Only then you ask about the reality. But the chances of something coming out, it could happen. You discuss it before it happens. What are the chances are of something happening? Before it happened, it makes more sense that it will happen from the place of the majority of meat. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Does it? It does?
I'm trying to understand the rov sikuyim, but your signal was jumping a little bit.
Uh-huh. So I'll try to also read out the first paragraph, and I'll also try to explain it again. He says that the ikar ha-vikuach ben kevig el rashash hinam haim ruba dita kaman. Inyano rov sikuyim, yoter mistaber sheikre, and this is going to happen, or rov tzedadim, rov efsharuyot makara. והיינו, דסיכויים לעולם לא נמדדים לאחר שנתברר לנו מעשה. אלא דנין עלי קודם לכן, מה אותם מסתבר שיקרה? אולם צדדים נדונים לאחר שקרה, מה הם הצדדים והאפשרות שדבר זה מותר? או מה הצדדים והאפשרות שהוא טרף? ולכן לעולם דנינו לאחר שקרה, מה הם האפשרויות עצמם? When the meat is already found outside, so I'm asking, what are the options? Where did it come from? It came either from here, from here, from here, from here, from here. That's the rov tzedadim, the options. But rov sikuyim, I think, before it happened, I think about every single piece of meat, about its chances to fall out of the store. So every single piece of meat, I look at it and say, this piece of meat has the potential to fall outside. It could, it could not. Then now, after it happened, I don't care about the rov sikuyim. Why? Because all of these things did not fall in the end. Only one thing fell. And every single one of the pieces of meat had the option of falling or not falling. So now I think, where did it come from? But before it fell, I think this has a chance, this has a chance. Then I go according to the majority of meat and say, listen, this store has so much meat, it has so much potential of things falling because it has more meat. Every single meat has a potential of something of falling. Every single piece of meat which is in the store has the potential to stay inside or to fall. If I will ask you, listen, there's no meat found, but I'm telling you, maybe one piece of meat will found. I'm asking you, where would it fall? Would it fall?
The rest is going to stay at rest.
Sorry? You think so? I agree with you. So 90%, every single piece of meat, I would say 90%, it will stay in its place. But
someone buys it and carries out with them, and it falls.
Either person. So let's say we're not measuring the quality of service in every single store, but you have here a lot of meat, and people buy the same amount of meat from each and every store. Or let's say not meat. Let's say birds. The birds are supposed to stay in the coop. One is going to escape. Every single bird has the chances of, I don't know, 50-50 odds to escape from the coop. This bird could fall. This bird could fall. This bird could fall. So I assume that if you have as many birds, so you have more chances that one of the birds will ultimately jump out. Even though it's unlikely, but since every single bird has this chance, the place that has more birds is more likely for one bird to manage and to manage to escape. So that is always measured before it actually happened. Before it actually happened. Because we're saying most chances it will come from this place because it has more birds. After it happened, I don't care about all these odds. I'm asking now the simple question, okay, something weird happened here. Where did it come from? What is the mitzias? They come from this coop, from this coop, from this coop. That is only then the options actually become sensible. But before it happens, that is the Rav Sikuim. It happens, I would say, it'll happen from the place that's more, that has more birds. After it happened, the majority of birds are still in place. So why should I answer my suffix? Only if I go according to the Rav Sikuim, I go back before it actually happened. And I'm asking myself, where is it more likely that it will happen? I'll go according to there. So I think that's what he's saying, that is the concept of the Rashash, that it goes according to the Rav Sikuyim, that I always, that might also be the Chazonish, that I go according, where is it more likely that piece of meat will fall out? After it happens, I'm asking about the Metzius. Okay, something happened here. What happened? Where did it come from? This door, this door, this door, this door? I have multiple options. But before it happened, So in that case, multiple options. It could be from that one. Rav Tzadim. I go according to the Rav of the stores. But before it happened, if you ask me where is it more likely that bird will jump out, I would assume the place that has the most birds. Because all the birds are trying to jump out from every single one. Every single bird is in the cage. Everyone is supposed to be locked up. One of them fell out. I would say the place that has more birds trying will eventually manage. So that is Rav Sikuyim. It's more chances that it will happen.
Let me just ask you if this is what you're saying. Are you saying that the way to evaluate whether this piece of meat came from that store, that store, that store, is by evaluating for each piece of meat in existence, what was the likelihood that this would fall into that spot, and then say, presumably, the one that's here now is the one that had the highest odds beforehand of this happening to it.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And because of that, even though you have 9 stores, which all of them are 9 ways of birds, let's say, that it could potentially come out, but you have one that has more birds inside. Birds is easier than meat, because it's a given that it's not supposed to come out. I'll go with a place that has more sikuim, more chances. I think that this might be also the idea of the Kovetz Shiurim, that he brings, that he says according to Reb Chaim, there are 2 types of Kol de Parish. Let's see the second type of Kol de Parish that he brings in Source 14. He says, "De beparish danim al maaseh haprisha shaita maharov." I don't care about the amount of the chefza. But I'm just saying, where is it more likely to see this maise of prisha? To seeing this thing happening, that someone will, might fall out. Nafkamiya bin shnei adinim haelu, הדין הראשון לא ממש, אלא בשעתו, הדין השני שאמרנו למעשה הפרישה הייתה מהרוב, זה מהני לעולם, אפילו אחר כך, the two leka ruba. I think what he's meaning is as follows. I think. Let me try to illustrate it. Again, I'm not a mathematician, so I'll try to illustrate it. But let's say there is a raffle. There's a raffle. Now, there are 10 tickets. I bought 8, and Mr. Caroli bought 2. There are 10 tickets. Now, I bought 8 tickets. Now, we start. Now, one of us has the golden tickets. We open number 1. It's not. Sorry, I'm opening mine, not Mr. Caroli. I'm opening mine. Open number 1, it's not it. Number 2, it's not it. Number 3, it's not it. 4, 5, 6, 7, it's not it. I have one last ticket left. And Mr. Caroli has 2 tickets. So now Mr. Crowley says to me, you know what? I'll be kind to you. Let's swap. Take my 2 tickets and I'll take your 1 ticket. So I think that maybe what Rebbe Chodim is saying is that once I had 8 tickets out of 10, so I had 80% of the golden ticket coming out. I had more of a likelihood. And even though that the Rav is no longer here, it's no longer here because we already determined that these 7 tickets did not win. Still, there's still more likelihood that the tickets that I got had more likelihood to be parish, to be exceptional, to leave, to be exceptional. So maybe according to his statistics, if Mr. Crowley is very kind to me, asking me, do you want two tickets or one, or keep your own one? Maybe I should keep my one. I don't know.
I don't know. When you flip a coin 10 times and 9 times out of 10 is heads, it doesn't change the fact that there's still a 50% chance of you flipping it and landing on tails.
Yeah. What? What?
Now he, of the ones left, he now has the rove.
What? Of the ones left.
Yeah, now it's
But when I had the eighth, so I had 80% of chances that I will have the golden ticket. And now that the fact is going down and down and down and down, so now I'm swapping my 80% I have in this last ticket with the 20% that he has.
That's not true, because you just burned out 70% of your likelihood. Right. Now you're down to, now it's a set of three.
So does it change?
And you have 30, and you only have 30% chance now. Because
with each time you open it, you see that it's not the ticket, the pool gets smaller. You're at 80%, then you're at 70%, then you're at 60%. Now suddenly it's 10%.
So something like that. It could be that you're right. I don't know what to say. But he says that since we're dealing with the likelihood of the prisha, he says even if the rav is no longer there, we're always discussing what is the likelihood that this will come out. So I think maybe also regarding the birds, that there's always a likelihood that things will fall out, the maise prisha, the act of falling out from the place that you have more birds. And even though the rest of the birds are stayed over there, but still the likelihood of falling from that place is still there. So maybe, according to the Chazon Ish, this is also the pshat. So back to the triangles and the squares of the Rashash. So maybe again, he says, where are most odds that something will fall out? You have here 50 pieces that might fall out. You have now 30 pieces that might fall out. You have 50 birds and you have 30 birds. Where is more likely that something will fall out from the 50? And even though you have only 10 brown birds in the 50, and you have 30 brown birds and you find a brown bird, still the likelihood of something falling out, not the chefsa, the prisha, something falling out is still part over there. So you go according to the majority of the most chances of something falling out. Not the options, the tzadim, but you go according to the likelihood of something falling out, or the prisha. And that is maybe also the Chazon Ish. That you don't go according to the majority of stores, where did it come from, the tzadim, the options, but the likelihood of meat coming out. And since every single piece has an equal likelihood of something coming out, so you go according to the majority of meat, and not according to the majority of stores. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes?
That's what you said, yes.
What? I said this? I did say this. Okay, I said this. So
it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense? It does? I mean, I hope so.
Whether or not halachically think it makes sense is a separate point.
Forget about halacha now. But in Svara, if we go with this concept, that we're not going with the options, but we're going with the probability, what will happen in the future, the chances, so even though it is already done, the chances stay what were also beforehand. And the probability of something falling out will always be according to the multiple chances of something falling out, as opposed to the options, where did it fall out from? The Rov Sikuim, more than the Rov Tzadim. And that will explain the Rashash, and I think also the Chazon Ish. Does this make sense?
I mean, yeah. Logically, you can end with absurd results.
You see absurd results here with the case of the triangles.
You could have maybe just two triangles in the Jewish store and 40 in the trade store. Any statistician would tell you that now that we know it's a triangle.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure he would say that, because maybe he would say, listen.
Also,
birds. Let's say you have two prisons. Right? You have two prisons. Both have equally same level of guards. I don't know how to measure it. You have there 30 men and 20 women. The other one has 30 women. Now, every single prisoner is trying to get out. He's trying to get out. I'm going to tell you, listen, someone is going to be out tomorrow. Someone is going to manage to run away. Everyone are trying. Where do you think is more likely that someone will succeed? I assume where you have more candidates, right, more people coming out. You, and then only tomorrow, after it happened, you see a woman. wait a second, there were only 20 women in the prison of 50, and here you have 30. But the odds were to begin with, who managed to escape? The pre-Sha to get out? Mm-hmm. From this one. So the probability of something happening will come to the place where you have the majority of people that are trying to get out. Not according to the Chefza. Oh, now you have a woman. So if, well, according to the Rav Tzedadim, listen, you have your options. You have here women, you have here women. Go according to where there are more women. But if we're saying that going according to probability, what will eventually manage to get out? The pre-Sha, called the Parish, Meruba Parish, it'll be for the place that you have more people which are trying to get out. I think we'll leave it here for today. It's extremely, extremely complicated.